encouragement to be able to come here and study with you. So I've tried to somewhat theme the songs upon, focused upon our heart and attitudes as we worship our God or go to God in prayer. The article in which I have written for this week focuses on prayer. It focuses more on that we need to be praying often. And the lesson this morning, though, is more focused upon Jesus and his praying, looking to him as an example. Brought it out this morning in our Bible class that we're to look as we read about Jesus and seeing how we kind of line up with him, and to the point that we are followers of Christ, that we take his teachings, make his teachings ours. We go forth and we read it as a mirror, and so therefore as he would be kind to others, we are to be kind. As his love shown to others, we are to be loving. As he was humble, we are to be humble. As he was merciful, we are to be merciful also. And so we see how we are to be like Christ. And one of those points to bring out is that we should be praying like our Lord. We should pray as our Lord prayed. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed quite often as we open up our Bibles. He prayed time and again. As we study the Word of God, we can see many times in which it makes mention that he would take time aside by himself to go and pray, or that he would pray or give thanks in many ways, in many different times. And so I want to look at that this morning, if you'll open up your Bibles and follow along with me. So the first point to bring out, is Jesus prayed often. As if you take time to read the article, it focuses on how many times it kind of brings out that point to be praying. We are told to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always, or we're supposed to be steadfast in prayer, bringing out in Colossians. And so many times throughout the Word of God does it refer to the point of be continuously praying. And Jesus gives us that example. And just what we have and know about our Lord through the words of God, we know he prayed often. To start off with in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, as it speaks of our Lord here and his sacrifice and all that he had done, it brings out who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. And so here, if Jesus prayed, even as he was suffering, he prayed as he was crying. That brings out he knows who could save him. He knows God. He prayed. Jesus prayed often. He prayed, as we read throughout the Word of God, all the way up to that point that he even spoke to God as he was on the cross. He continuously was praying. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, you open up your Bibles with me, Luke 3 and verse 21, as Jesus is baptized. As we read here in Luke 3, verse 21, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, and you, I am well pleased. And so as we read here, it gives us a little bit of a different thought. Maybe sometimes we read about when Jesus is baptized and read the other accounts. It seems that maybe God spoke as he was baptized. But here it reads like maybe after he was baptized, he was praying. And as he was praying, God answers his prayer and saying, I am pleased with what you have done here. I am pleased with your choice. I am pleased with you. And so Jesus, though, prayed. He prayed when he was baptized, giving glory to God, giving him thanks, seeking his guidance. Jesus prayed. And again, it gives us that example. And John, you know, as we would often point out, maybe to ourselves, John himself, he was like, who am I to baptize you, right? He's in there, you know, you are the Son of God. You are the sick. You are the Christ. I should be baptized by you and not me baptizing you. In the same way, manners, I can get caught up, and I think I brought this out in my article, is the fact that, you know, Jesus came from heaven. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus is the Son of God. If there's anyone that I could think of that wouldn't need to pray so often because they are already so strong, they're so
faithful and they got things figured out, it seems like, you know, it'd be our Lord. I would think Jesus is the one that wouldn't have to, and yet he's the one that prayed so often. And again, he lived that faithful life. So maybe that's a good example for us to look to, for one who has lived a faithful life to God. And he prayed often. He continuously was praying. In Matthew chapter, if you turn along with me, Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 23. It brings out here, it says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." It brings out, after he has done so much work, after he has sent the multitude away, he went by himself. He made time. And he didn't just go stand over here. All right, you know, I got a few seconds over here. And so he stood aside, which is good to do too. I'm not, again, if you have that opportunity, take the time to pray. But Jesus made time to go pray. Jesus took time aside and said, "I'm going to go up this mountain. I'm going to get away from everybody else where they're not going to follow me. And I'm going to pray." He took time aside. He made the opportunity to be by himself, to have that alone time with our Father up above, to pray. And sometimes we want alone time to sit and think about our own things, alone time to maybe watch TV, alone time to read your books. So, you know, it's hard to read a book when kids are being loud, to focus on what's being said. You know, we try to find time aside for these things. Do we set a time aside to go to God in prayer? To go and be with our God, to speak with him, to let him know what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you need. Give him thanks. God prays so often. You turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1. And in verse 35, again, here it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Again, Jesus taking time aside, and how did he do it? He said, "You know, I'll get up early before the sun is even up, and I will go set aside some time to pray." Jesus made time to pray. Again, we can get caught up, and I know we can get caught up with very busy lives and busy schedules with work and with kids and social life, and then we have to come together and we would gather together and worship and so much going on. Do we set time aside to worship our God, to pray to God, to give thanks to God? And, you know, we can go into detail of studying his word, but continuously. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, again, just to point out, Jesus prayed so much, prayed so often, that it brought out the point that his disciples ended up asking him how to pray. So Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" I'll look at the rest of those verses here in a bit in our next point. It's just that point that Jesus prayed so often that his disciples picked up on. The apostles looked at him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples. We see that you pray often. Teach us how to pray." And I want to look at that prayer, that model prayer, as we open up the next point of Jesus' prayers, actually looking and seeing. Because again, often those verses we looked at, it just brings out he took time aside and he went and prayed. And we don't know what he was praying about those times. We don't know what he said or what thanks he was giving, what struggles he might be dealing with, what he was praying about. Don't know. But there are a few. There are a few examples that we can look at in the Word of God and see what it is Jesus prayed. And I want to take time aside in this next point to look at that. Look at Jesus' prayers. And we'll start here, if you're still there, in Luke 11. And look at this model prayer. This is not Jesus' prayer. This is them saying, "Teach us to pray." And so here's an example, a model prayer, and just a guideline on how we should be praying. And so if you pick up with me in verse 2, after they asked Jesus to teach them, he said, "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So as Jesus goes forth and prays here, let's break this down a little bit. Look at the things that we can point out on how we should be praying. First point is that we're praying to God. And Jesus gives that reverence to the Father. He brings out, you know, he goes to him in prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You know, realize who it is we're talking to. I'm not speaking down to my son. I'm not speaking down to just my dad. You know, I'm not speaking to just anyone. We're speaking to God. His name is holy. Just his name. I mean, God is holy. His name is holy. So when we go to him, you know, glorify our God. Give him thanks for who he is and what he has done. As Jesus continues along in his prayer here, in this model prayer, that, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. As Jesus prays, he prays for the church, he prays for the Lord's kingdom to grow, to come, to be established, and then brings out that point, your will be done, as on earth as it is in heaven. And again, that is a big reminder to us. As we go to God in prayer, we can often get caught up, and it's the reason we go to him most often, is that we're praying for things in which we feel we need. We need his help. We need his strength. We need his guidance. You know, we're praying for the physically sick, the spiritually sick. And we pray for all these things. And we have in mindset of what we want to be done, what we feel should be done. We also have to remember, your will be done. God's will. That not always our will is lined up with his. That not always is his answer yes. Sometimes that answer is no. And we have to be ready to accept that. That as we pray continuously upon something and it doesn't take place, and to the point that maybe you're hoping to get a job or get in a raise or to get a house or whatever it is you may have been praying about. And again, those things are good to pray about, good to go to God and seek his guidance for. But when it does not happen, do we get caught up and blaming God and saying, "Well, I prayed about it. I don't see why God didn't answer me, why he didn't give it to me." But ready to say, "Lord, if it be your will, I think this will help us. It'll help us to get into a better position. It'll help us to be able to do more things." And you can see how it can help the kingdom, how it can help serve his commandments. So therefore, we have to pray for his will as we go to our God in prayer. And again, we pray for forgiveness, going to God for forgiveness. We saw this, of course, with Simon the sorcerer as he offered up money for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to perform and to pass them on to other people. And what did Peter say? You know, he told him to repent, to pray to God that might have time that his heart be forgiven, right? And he was to pray for that forgiveness. And here, God, forgive us our sins. And again, here, for we also forgive everyone else. Help us forgive everyone. Praying for his forgiveness and praying that he gives us the strength that we're able to forgive others. Praying that he helps us to overcome temptation as we live a faithful life upon this earth. So this is just a model prayer, an idea of some of the things that we should be thinking about when we go to God in prayer. Another point that we could look at is John chapter 17. If you turn along with me, John chapter 17, and here we have a lengthier prayer as we look to the example of our Lord and Savior. In John 17:1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, so Jesus prayed. And he starts off with verses 1 through 5. It says, "Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. In this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Jesus started off with a prayer about himself. He starts off this prayer, and understand, it's okay. We should be praying about ourselves. We need to be praying for our strength. As Jesus goes forth, but he's praying about himself, that he may be glorified. It wasn't just for his glory, though. He's saying that you may be glorified. And again, that's the same point. We could pray similar to our Lord here. As we would look to Matthew 6, and look with me in verse 34. It says, therefore, do not worry about... That's not tomorrow. Matthew 5. There we go. Matthew 5 and in verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so as it brings out that we could pray, God, let my light shine, because my light is Christ's light. And as Christ's light shines through me and it shines unto the world, they glorify you. Jesus, glorify me so that they will glorify you. And to that point, again, we're not to get caught up in that pride, not to get caught up in saying I'm better than others. But pray that God is shining his light through us so that we can do the most we can do for him. Picking up in verse 6, here he's praying for his disciples that are there at this time and point that he is praying, the apostles, the disciples that are there. Verse 6 says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. They have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and you and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Again, Jesus brings out that glory there, right? He's bringing out because of their works, because of what they do, because they are lined up with you, because they are lined up with me. They've been glorified, and they glorify me. And so in verse 11, it says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and your word has hated them. The world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. So what Jesus prays about here for the disciples, for the apostles that God had given them at this time and point, is that they have enough strength to continue to fight the good fight. He's praying that they continue, that as I am with them, I've given them the word. Let them continue to go out to teach it, to spread it to others. I know we don't want to take them out of the world because they have to go into all the world and spread the word. But what I do pray is that you don't give them over to Satan. Give them the strength to overcome the temptation that they're about to face. Because we know Jesus already knew he's going to predict that Peter is going to deny him 3 times, but then he tells Peter, when you come back, when you finally realize when you come back, you're going to have to stand up, you're going to have to lead, you're going to have to be there for the rest of the apostles, for the rest of the brethren, you have to go teach the word of God. And so he's there praying that they continue to have the faith they need, to continue to glory the Lord, continue to strengthen. And so again, this is a prayer that we'd be praying for one another. Praying for your children that you've raised, risen them in the manner in which they will serve God, and as they grow up, that they are ready to go into the world on their own, that they do so. That maybe you've taught these young kids in class, and as they get up older and older, and so you continue to pray for them, that they are prepared, that they continue to fight the good fight, that they continue to serve the Lord, just as Jesus is praying for his disciples. We pray for each other. We pray for our brethren, praying that they continue to do what is right. And then Jesus prays for us today here in verse 20 through 23. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will. Not those who are already, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." And so, as we read that, Jesus continues to pray for them. He prays for us. Verse 23, finish that off. It says, "I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, and you have loved me." Again, we talked about love and brotherly kindness this morning. We talked about the unity that we're supposed to have. Jesus here prayed for that. Jesus prayed that we become one with one another. And as we become one with one another, we become one with God. And as we become, because we're one with the Lord, we're one with God. And so He wants us to be like Him. To be like Him as He has the relationship with the Father up above, we are to be with each other. So therefore, we have to be willing to come together and study with each other, to help us to have that one faith, to be lined up with Christ, the chief cornerstone. He prays for us. You know, notice he has a little section there, first five verses, that he prayed kind of about himself and all the things that have been taking place, that continue to take place. He knows his time is about to come up. The rest of this prayer is focused on his disciples and those who are going to become his disciples. He continues to pray for others. Constant mind, continue to pray for others. Look at the Apostle Paul setting a good example for us as, you know, he was shipwrecked, as he was beaten, as he was whipped, and all that he had went through, being starved and unclothed. He says, "And what's continuously on my mind? The brethren, the church. What's continuously on his mind?" He continued to pray for them. He continued to be concerned for them. He continued to want to write letters to them. He continued to pray for them. That's how he started off almost every one of his letters. "I do not stop praying for you. I continuously pray for you since I've heard of your faith, since we've last been together." He was always praying for them. Jesus goes back to the disciples that there were with him in verse 24. He says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them." Comes down and finishes it with what we've been talking about in golf class, loving one another. Continuing our next lesson as we get to talk about love is that we pray for our love. Loving each other, being one and united together, helping each other to overcome these temptations. So the other prayer I want to look at is Jesus praying in the garden, Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Here, tough moment to be in. Hard situation, temptation at the door, temptation to flee, temptation to not go through the suffering, temptation to just end mankind. There's so many things that we can point out, I believe, here as Jesus is about to go through the suffering, as he starts into the suffering, as he's about to be betrayed and knows who's coming. And again, temptation of his disciples that he has prayed for already, you know, that you're just so tired, you're sleeping on. You know, you don't have enough time to sit and watch and pray, you know, lest you fall in temptation yourself. And so Jesus goes and prays himself here in verse 39. It says, "He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus, knowing what's about to take place, he, just like any one of us, does not want to go through that pain and suffering. Just physically, we don't want to be beat and scourged and have a crown of thorns beat up on your head, to be nailed to a cross. Anybody volunteering saying, "I want to do it"? He didn't want to do it either. It wasn't that it was going to be a great, fun time for him. He says, "If it's possible, if there's any other way for this to take place, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," again, getting back to the main thing, "let your will be done." Jesus prayed that God's will be done, knowing that this had to be done, knowing that he had to go through this suffering because of the love that he and the Father has for you and I. so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And again, Jesus came back to his disciples, found them sleeping, and so he goes back to pray. Verse 42. It says, "Oh my Father," it says again a second time, "he went away praying, saying, Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Ready and prepared to go through what had to be done so that he could fulfill the will of the Father. He prayed that these things take place. You know, we know he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them away again and prayed a third time, saying, and again, just to point out, going back to our first slide, he prayed often. Now here he went and prayed, came back, found them, you know, so tired, they were exhausted and sleeping, and so he got onto them, he went back and prayed, saw them sleeping again, he went back and prayed a third time. Now he didn't say, I've already prayed for it, I need to sit here and do this, or I could do that. Prayed again. He had a little bit more time to pray, so he prayed. He had a little bit more time, so he went and prayed again. You know, sometimes we can sit there and you get done with a prayer. I know I've done it. I've prayed for something, and I get done. And I sit there for a second. Oh, I didn't pray for this. Go to God in prayer again. Start a new prayer. Pray to him. We need to be praying often. Jesus prayed often. Jesus prayed that the will of God be done in all the prayers. Is continuously to that point that his will be done, that he needs, God needs to be glorified, that we will glorify him in our actions and in our works. So let us continue to do that. Let us make sure that we are serving our God. As we serve our God, we pray to him often, have that relationship with our Father above so that he will take care of us. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning. If you're here, you need the prayers of the congregation. And we want to encourage you to come forward to be to ask for the prayers, to let us know what we can assist you in, what we can be praying about. Or if you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, we want to encourage you to do that also, that you obey the gospel so that you can have that relationship to go to God in prayer and let him hear your prayers and answer those prayers. If you need to be baptized or desire the prayers of the congregation, you will let me know as we stand and sing. Oh, to be